Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
No surprise here, self-described Christians who support counterfeit homosexual marriage also support other sexual sins. I'm Matt Barber, and joining me today in studio is Daryl Edwards, president of Liberty Counsel Action. Daryl, National Review Online and a number of other media sources are reporting on a University of Texas study done by Mark Regnerus, which offers a preview of forthcoming data revealing how support or opposition for same-sex marriage shapes a person's larger worldview and beliefs about sexuality. National Review says he asks, being Regnerus, Dr. Regnerus, what is the sexual and relational morality of Christians who accept the moral legitimacy of same-sex marriages? His data from the forthcoming Relationships in America survey reveals an interesting, if not totally unexpected, result that church-attending Christians who support same-sex marriage look more worldly and less Christian. Church-going Christians who support same-sex marriage also register support for other beliefs about sexuality that Christianity has historically considered taboo. According to Regnerus, church-going Christians, who are comparably much fewer in number as a pool of respondents, register much higher support for pornography, cohabitation, casual sex, and higher support than the general population for abortion rights. You know, National Review says that this is surprising. It's not surprising to me. It shouldn't be surprising to anyone who has read Scripture. Once you abandon fundamental truths provided in Scripture and choose a la carte Christianity, where you kind of decide, I like this part, I don't like this part, I like this part, I don't like this part, if they're going to abandon biblical truth and the clear admonition against homosexual immorality, what's to make us think that these so-called Christians, self-identified Christians, and they may or may not be, would reject teachings on pornography and fornication and adultery and everything else? They're all sexual sins.
Yeah, actually, I think the question could be turned around. It could go either way. Those who support same-sex marriage look more worldly and less Christian. I actually think you could say the Christians who are more worldly and less Christian are probably more likely to support same-sex marriage. Yeah. It doesn't matter which end of departing from
chicken
the Scriptures that you start
egg.
From.
Right.
If you depart from the Scriptures and what they teach, no matter which way you start to believe, you will go down the road for all of it.
Well, very well said. Yeah, it's a kind of a chicken or the egg scenario. Well, the study shows, it says, those Christians who say viewing pornography is okay, church-going Christians, and by church-going Christians, that I think that encapsulates just not, you know, rather than casual Christians, Christians who are serious enough about their faith to attend church regularly, to be part of a church body, to be involved in church activities and so forth. Those who support viewing pornography, 4.6%. Church-going Christians who support so-called same-sex marriage, 33.4%. The average population, 31.4%. Gay and lesbian Christians, 57%. Gay and lesbian non-Christians, 78%. For those supporting who are not church-growing, the numbers are much, much higher.
Well, I think what you have here is you have teaching. You have it goes back to the churches. It goes back to the pulpits. It goes back to whether the Bible is actually being taught or not. And what we have too much in these days, we have what the New Testament warns of people having itching ears, wanting pastors to teach what they would like to hear. Mm-hmm. So they're not teaching the hard truths of the Scripture, and they're not teaching the way we're supposed to live. They're teaching the way people would like to live. And I think this is just following down that road.
Well, it is, and you've hit the nail on the head. A lot of this falls directly and squarely in the lap of pastors, of shepherds who are not shepherding their flock and are avoiding these hot-button cultural issues that, guess what? You know, Scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. These were hot-button cultural issues 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, sexual immorality being at the forefront of and embraced by a pagan worldview. So we see this unfortunate merging of a pagan worldview and a Christian worldview. And, you know, there was a 2009 Barna study that was released that was very troubling. It shows that Christians today, particularly millennial Christians, have abandoned orthodoxy, biblical orthodoxy, and a biblical worldview, a Christian worldview. And although they may have a very sincere, you know, love for Christ and a sincere faith, they are operating under more of a pagan worldview, which rejects the black and white teachings of truth and of Scripture, and instead says that you know, all morality is relative. So the pagan worldview says, you know, embraces moral relativism. The true biblical and Christian worldview says, no, God sets the standards. There are fixed lines of demarcation between right and wrong. And we are seeing more and more that within the church, more self-identified Christians, because of our culture, and because of a lack of proper teaching and ministry on the part of pastors around the world, we are seeing this flow of Christians moving away from a biblical worldview en masse into a pagan worldview, which Scripture has a lot to say about as well.
You know, these warnings were given clearly in the early 19th century by the great evangelist Charles G. Finney, who was the leader of the Second Great Awakening. And he gave this sermon, and in it he said, he went through this whole list of bad things that could happen to the culture. And he said, if this happens, it's because the pulpit has failed. Mm-hmm. If this happens, it's because the pastors haven't done their job. He even said, if Satan rules in the halls of our legislatures, it's because the pulpit has failed. Well, we're kind of seeing that today, certainly in the legislatures around the land, not to mention the U.S. Congress. So I think we still have to throw it back to that. The preachers have to hold themselves accountable, because God certainly will, for what they are teaching and preaching. And the people in the pulpits, I mean, in the pews, need to expect that.
Well, and that's what Liberty Counsel spends a lot of time doing, is educating pastors so that they don't have that easy out, that rationalization that says, oh, no, I keep political issues biblical issues, I keep them separate. I'm just about preaching the gospel. And then somehow use that and as if Christ presented some narrow version of the gospel that says you can avoid all these issues that affect our culture, issues of morality, which fall under the purview of the church that Christ spoke of multiple times. He mentioned hell over and over and over, and the need to be saved and avoid sin and repent of your sins. It's throughout the New Testament where Christ talks about these things. It's not all love and acceptance and embracing various identities and lifestyles and so forth. So the church, pastors, need to understand that political issues and moral issues are one and the same, that the world has politicized the gospel. Things that fall under the purview of the gospel truth of Scripture. They politicize these things and are pushing them, and pastors are buying into it and bought it hook, line, and sinker, saying, okay, well, I'll step back and I don't have to say anything about it because it makes me uncomfortable in church to have to talk about these things.
Yeah, well, like we've been talking about same-sex marriage, and they try to make these moral issues into political ones, and as soon as they do, then pastors will step back and other Christians will say, oh, now we can't talk about it anymore because now they've made it political. Well, that's just ridiculous on its face. We're obligated to talk about it. We're obligated to address these issues and confront the culture.
Well, very well said. Well, Liberty Counsel is at the forefront of educating pastors, encouraging pastors to get involved, to edify their flock about the truths of Scripture and how these truths affect our culture. Every single person is going to have to make a decision as to where they stand. They're going to either side with the world or they're going to side with the clear orthodox teachings of Scripture and biblical truth. It's the sitting the fence days are over. So go to lc.org to learn more. That's lc.org to learn how you can become part of Liberty Counsel's Pastors and Patriots Initiative. You can provide your pastor with information that will help educate him about what he can say from the pulpit. The left likes to say that any political issue is off limits and that the IRS will come down on your head if you do speak to issues that happen to also be political. That's nonsense, and pastors need to learn about this. Go to lc.org. or give us a call, give Liberty Counsel a call, 1-800-671-1776. Ask about the Pastors and Patriots Initiative. Help stand with us as we stand in the gap to defend natural marriage, to defend against this sexual anarchy onslaught that our culture is undergoing right now. The future depends on it. That's lc.org or call 1-800-671-1776.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.